You have to be able to explain to me why you want this now. And it wasn't a matter of they were the right age. I mean, Facebook says you need to be 13 to have a Facebook or an Instagram account. I know a lot of 8-year-olds that have Facebook accounts. It's not so much a matter of age as it is, are they ready? And are the parents ready to invest in teaching them how to use it versus, here you go, this will keep you busy for the next few hours.
Welcome to Biblical Counseling in Action. I'm Steve Byers, and this is a podcast that addresses questions like, how do these principles penetrate every facet of local church ministry? What does it look like when biblical counseling starts to impact the youth ministry, or our ladies' Bible studies, or our men's ministries, or the way leaders function together, or the way decisions are made in the church? What does it look like in the lives of everyday church members who have been trained, or maybe who have been counseled, but now they're continuing to live out these principles in everyday life? That's what this podcast is all about. Welcome back to Biblical Counseling in Action. Today we're talking to Jonathan Smith, the Director of Technology at Faith. And Jonathan carries a huge load of responsibility for all of our ministries. He's been on staff since 2001. And I can speak for many, many in our staff and in our church family who just are so thankful for Jonathan, for his gifts, for his work ethic, and for all he does just to keep our technology working so well. But in addition to that, Jonathan's written a book entitled, Are You Hooked? That's the primary reason we're talking today. It's such an important message, and I'm really looking forward to just allowing him to share that with our listeners. But Jonathan, before we get into your book, can you tell us just a little bit about your extended family? Some people who listen to this podcast, they might not know the relationship between you and Doc Smith or your dad, and it's a very unique story, and it's a very delightful story. It's a really important part of our church's 59-year history. So can you tell us about that?
Well, I was very young at the time. With a name like Smith, people don't often connect us, but my dad and my mom moved here in 1978 without my permission.
Or knowledge
at the time. I was very young. My grandparents came down to Lafayette in 1977 with Pastor Good when they started Faith Biblical Counseling Ministries. And so after my grandparents moved here, I was born, and my parents saw the opportunities to get involved in faith. They saw the ministry potential here. And so they came in 1978, and despite my best efforts, the Lord has kept me here. I've been able to serve with my dad and my grandfather. There was a brief period of time when the three of us were deacons. Grandpa's with the Lord right now, but my dad is still serving as a deacon here, and he also still serves with us on our tech team. So it's been fun for me to serve where I can see what the two generations before me have been involved and how they've been involved directly in the ministry of the church here.
Yeah, you know, I think the word heritage fits well into the story, spiritual heritage. Of course, Doc Smith, your grandfather, such an important leader in this church and so influential, along with his wife Leona and Pastor and Mrs. Goode, just dear friends. And, you know, we constantly talk about them around here, and part of that is just because we miss them so much, and also because our church family is so thankful for their life and ministry. And then Doc's son, your dad, Paul, just such a faithful man, and your mom, Lynn, I mean, just such an important part of our church. And now you and Heather and your family, it's just fun. It's fun to watch generational faithfulness. And I mean that, fun probably isn't the best word. It's a delight to my heart and soul as a pastor to sit back and to watch the Lord do that kind of work to benefit. I've often said that because Doc Smith was the chairman of deacons here for many years. When I was younger as a pastor, and I've many, many times said I wish every pastor had a Doc Smith as a chairman of deacons, and then your dad, a long-term deacon, and just so faithful and loyal. So just such a delightful example of Jesus Christ in action generationally in a family. So thank you for your faithfulness, and thanks for being part of it. So based on that, you know, this podcast is all about biblical counseling in action. What role did biblical counseling principles play in your family?
Yeah, it was part of my DNA growing up. I don't recall a time when there was ever a retrain or reteach. This was just what I knew. I have joked, probably not appropriately, but I have said I may have been one of the first children to be nouthetically spanked.
In love, of course.
In love, often. I'm sure it was often. No, biblical counseling had a huge role, I guess, in me growing up, because I look back. When I was in second grade, my mom taught me the four rules of communication.
Wow.
And I think I had to take a test over it. So it's just always been a part of what I've known. And then being a part of faith in the early days, back when we had church morning and evening, and just going to church and being involved and listening, I mean, what we were getting from the pulpit and just what was coming out in all the ministries was biblical counseling in action.
Yeah, so, you know, we've had a biblical counseling center here for 46 years. So when Jonathan talks about his grandpa and Pastor Good starting it, that's how long ago that was. But it wasn't just a ministry that was held in isolation on Mondays. It was affecting all of the DNA of our church. The biblical counseling movement was very, very young at the time. So this was being developed, and so it did. It affected the preaching. It affected the teaching. It affected the dynamics of a deacon's meeting, of just how were leaders going to get along, how are they going to solve problems, how are they going to make decisions, just all of that. And it's interesting that you grew up in that environment and now have served as an adult, but there's no doubt about that. Well, I have to believe that that has impacted the way you thought about the topic of your book. So can you tell us about Are You Hooked? Can you tell us what was it that motivated you to write this?
My primary goal was, as I got involved in social media and technology myself, I saw a gap in how people were being told to handle it and deal with it. And this all has evolved since 2007. We're not talking about technology that's been around for decades.
That's right.
This is new stuff. So my involvement, I got involved early on when I learned how I could extort social media for personal gain.
Could you unpack that for us?
Sure. So I like to go watch rockets launch. And early on, back in 2008, I got involved with NASA on what used to be known as Twitter. And NASA was using Twitter to entice people to come to rocket launches and then share their message. Well, I thought, well, that's brilliant. You bring me down here. You let me touch the rocket. You let me get close to the people flying it. And then all you want me to do is to share it on this new thing called social media. So I did. And NASA kept inviting me back. And then the White House called a few times, and I got invited there to share things and to just communicate. And as I watched this, I thought, this is great for me as an adult. What's going to happen in 20 years? What's going to happen to the kids when they get a hold of this thing? And I'm extorting it for a hobby and for some fun. I mean, what isn't more fun than a rocket launch?
I could think of a lot of things, but this podcast is limited in scope. So please, okay. Go ahead.
Well, I can't think of anything else more fun. So as I looked at that and I looked at how I could gain from it, it became a matter of how do we help young people in the next generation deal with this technology in a fashion that helps them not only honor God, but in a fashion that might help them advance the kingdom, much in the way that NASA was using it to advance their mission, the church and believers should be using it to advance the kingdom.
Well, and what you're talking about is how do we take biblical principles, the same kind of things that we would use in counseling, but think about social media through that same lens, that same grid, which is really the point of this podcast in many ways, is what happens when biblical counseling comes out of the counseling room? What happens when it hits the streets? What happens when it is in action in all areas of life? And there's no doubt for many of us, social media is a part of our life and perhaps even a significant part of our life, but there does seem to be a disconnect between what we say we believe from Scripture and the way we function in social media. I get the sense that you were trying to bring those two topics together. Am I right about that?
Very much so. And the disconnect continues to play out every day today. Even now, the focus is not on what do I need to do to become more like Christ? How do I need to change my heart and how I use social media? The focus is let's blame somebody else. Let's have somebody else fix the problem for us. Just yesterday, 33 states are suing the big four social media companies saying you're not protecting our children enough. Okay, so whose job is it to protect our children? Whose job is it to raise our children? Is it the social media companies, or is it parents and those that believe what the Bible has to say about how to raise your young person?
That's fascinating to think about how social media could even impact the way we think about a societal problem, and we might define it incorrectly because we're not letting God's word come to bear on parents, all of us thinking about our own responsibilities, not blaming it on somebody else. That's fascinating.
And if you take this into an analog perspective, sometimes the technology can make it fuzzy, and we don't understand it, don't get how the geeky side of it works. McDonald's makes really good French fries. Have you had one?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, they make really good French fries. What we're doing now is we're saying, look, McDonald's, your French fries are too good, and I have no personal responsibility, so start poisoning the French fries. But that's not how it works. The Bible doesn't tell us to blame somebody else. It tells us to work on our own heart. And that's where biblical counseling comes in, because the focus is on what do I need to do to grow and change, and how does my heart need to be right with God, and how does my heart need to help affect my outcomes, my actions, so that what I'm doing online and offline are a proper reflection of who I believe in.
So can you tell us some of the emphases in the book? If somebody's going to buy the book, they're going to read it, what are some of the key points that they're going to take away?
A couple of things. One is you're going to be able to evaluate, are you actually hooked? Are you addicted to social media? And this is for adults and young people. I mean, yeah. I spend time in the airport and you watch whole families and everybody's staring at a screen.
Oh, absolutely.
You'll even get together with a family over a holiday and everybody's come together to fellowship. And what's everybody doing?
Yep.
I wouldn't have had to gotten out of bed and comb my hair to fellowship with you online. I could have done that from home. So just first of all, are you hooked? Do you have an addiction? Are you even willing to call it that? And then what are some steps you can take to make sure that you're using technology as an adult and as a young person in a way that honors God? So things like, are you communicating in a fashion online that you would communicate offline? Mm-hmm. The four rules of communication. The first one is be honest. Are you being honest online? It's easy to lie and hide. Are you being honest online? Things of that nature.
Hmm. What about for parents? You know, I was in a hotel elevator the other day, and a family of four. Husband, wife, little boy, little girl. And I guess the little girl was, I'm going to say, 8, 10 years old. She had a cell phone, looked like an iPhone. She dropped it a couple of times in the elevator. And so her mom was giving her a pretty hard time about dropping her phone. And one of the things that at least I thought, and I'm not everybody's judge, so I'm not going to make more of that than there is. But at the same time, it did make me wonder, if a child is too young to even be able to hold a phone reliably, could that mean that maybe that child is too young to have a phone, period? How do you advise parents who are trying to make a decision like that? Should my child even have a phone, and at what age?
A lot of people ask, is there an age? And I don't think there is an age. Obviously, if you can't hold it, there's a mechanics to using it that's mm-hmm. there. I also wonder about, is it worth handing a child who's dropping a $1,200 iPhone often the value of having a $1,200 iPhone on the floor a lot? Maybe that's not a good use of funds. For me, it's more of a maturity thing. Every kid ages differently. Every kid matures differently. So it's not so much of when should you allow them to watch TV, when should you give them a device. It's when are you able to teach them appropriately how to use it. Our kids wanted this stuff pretty early. I'm kind of a geek. I have a lot of the toys. As our kids came up, it was, you have to be able to explain to me why you want this now. And it wasn't a matter of they were the right age. I mean, Facebook says you need to be 13 to have a Facebook or an Instagram account. I know a lot of 8-year-olds that have Facebook accounts. It's not so much a matter of age as it is, are they ready? And are the parents ready to invest in teaching them how to use it versus, here you go, this will keep you busy for the next few hours.
Hmm. What do you think about just parents trying to have some level of oversight of social media use? Do you recommend that parents monitor in some way what their kids are doing online, and how does a parent do that in the busy age in which we live?
I like to reckon social media use and training to how you train your kid to drive. If you help a young person learn how to drive and you just hand them the keys and you're not invested, you're not teaching, you're not watching, the outcome can be disastrous. People can die. And then the young person and the parents are having to deal with the accountability of that action. Social media is much the same thing. You can't just turn them loose. You have to invest and, like you said, monitor and be willing to monitor. As our kids were learning to drive, I was very interested in how they drove. I wanted to watch them drive. I wanted to ride with them, even at my own personal peril, so I could help them learn and do it right. Social media is the same thing. So there's lots of technologies you can use to manage that, to help you oversee what they're doing, to help you hold them accountable. It can be complex, and I get that, but it can also be simple. It's just, let's sit down and let's look at your feeds together. Let me see what you're posting on the various platforms you're on. Who are you communicating with? Let me see who your friends are. Why are you friends with that person? Just having those kinds of discussions can be important to help them make biblically based decisions on what they're doing online and why.
So do you think that ought to be a condition? If a child wants a phone, or if a child wants a Facebook account, or just whatever it might be, is there wisdom in that parent saying, I'm going to allow this, but the condition is we're going to talk about, I'm going to have access to what it is that you're doing, and I'm going to shepherd you in that area, even if the young person has some pushback about that? What do you say to a parent?
You have to do it that way, because if you don't, you set up behavioral patterns and habits that are very hard to break. And then you're deprogramming. You've got a heart that's addicted to the likes and the affirmations you get online, and you've got to unprogram that and say, that's not what we're here for. So I'll give you the secret recipe I recommend to parents. So when your kids want to get online, they want a device, they want to get on Instagram, they want to get on TikTok, whatever the next platform may be, ask them why. And there's one answer you want to lead them to coming to. And you want them to come to this answer on their own, not because you forced them, not because you're pushing them. You want them to honestly come to this answer on their own. It took our kids a few years to get there. But the response is, I want to get online now while you can help me learn to use it in a way that honors God. Mm-hmm. Not because I want to spend time with my friends, not because I want to post about what I'm doing or where I'm traveling or what's going on in my life, but because I want to learn how to use it right while I'm in your home, while I'm under your supervision.
Do you think parents should ever involve social media use as part of rewards and punishments? In other words, if misuse of social media or just other behavior that's not pleasing to God, do you recommend a break from the cell phone, a break from social media use? I mean, is that part of it?
It's called electronic grounding. So when you ground, you know, and when I got grounded, I went into my room, I sat on my bed, and I had nothing. If I was lucky, I had the pillow. I couldn't leave. I couldn't go anywhere. There was nothing to do. Now, if you ground a kid with a device of any kind, because they all overlap, you've not taken anything away. So using that as a privilege or as a reward is absolutely a valid way to help people learn, and young people especially, to learn to use it responsibly. When I was young, I can tell you what my parents took away from me to make me behave or to make me want to behave. But it wasn't just, they didn't just take it away. You had to teach. That's the biblical counseling coming into some of this, because it's not just I'm going to take it away and hope you earn it back. I'm going to take it away and teach you to earn it back so that you don't make that same decision that caused you to lose it in the first place, again, because you're learning in your heart to do what's right before God.
But what you're talking about, that's a lot of work on the part of a parent to put that kind of time into monitoring and shepherding social media use. That's really what you're talking about.
It is a lot of work, and I don't think if parents aren't ready to put the time in, then it's probably not time for your kids to get online, because it's that big of a deal, and you set up habits that are very hard to break in the future. Or we've been told for years, and it's true, you can't unsee. The mystery of things we used to hide by ignorance and not having access to is gone. So once a kid sees something, once a kid gets a hold of something, then you have to undo that as well. So it's much more, I mean, the Bible doesn't say, let them fail, then figure it out later. I mean, there's a lot of action verbs when it comes to parenting as a part of bring them up and do things that teach and train them in advance.
And it sounds like every parent is going to have to make the decision about, am I going to put a device in my child's phone as a lazy approach to parenting? Here it is, and now I don't have to invest time in you because you have that device to take up your time. Or, no, I'm going to be a responsible parent, so the act of giving the device isn't lazy. It's actually going to involve more work from mom or dad in order to shepherd that area of that child's life well.
And it's not easy. It takes a lot of effort. Our daughter at one point lost her use of her device, and she was in elementary school, and they use devices in school. So we said, you don't get to use your device for 2 weeks, and we had the teaching opportunity. The next morning, the assignment from school was to watch a 10-minute video on photosynthesis on YouTube. She thought that was her out. No, we watched that together on my device. That was not an easy 10 minutes.
Right.
But you're playing the long game, and you have to do what's right and show them that you're willing to do what's right, not just because you want to help them, but because you want to help them become more like Christ.
You, in the title of your book, use the word hooked, and you've mentioned habits several times even in this discussion. You really believe this can become what the world would call an addiction, don't you?
I do believe it's become an addiction, because when you compare it to what the world classifies an addiction as, especially even if it's a substance abuse addiction, it fits a lot of and checks a lot of those boxes. And even other aspects of life now that are non-substance abuse based are becoming addictions, just from activities and things that you can become addicted to and repeating them over and over and over again.
So from a personal perspective, do you try to limit social media use? Do you limit the time your phone is in your hand? I mean, how do you avoid this, and how do you encourage other people to avoid this becoming an addiction?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think all of us have to look at how we're using it, and are we using it as parents in a way that exemplifies to our children how they should be using
right.
it? I've talked to kids, and they say, well, mom and dad don't want me on it, but they're on it all the time.
Yep.
For me, I have limits set on my device so it will warn me, I use an iPhone. I'm going to heaven, so clearly I use an iPhone. All the smartphones have features that allow you just to get tracking of how you use your device. The smartphone companies are coming out with this not because it helps you become more like Christ. They're coming out with this because they're trying to fix the whole addiction problem, too. Hmm. So let's give you a warning that says you've been on Instagram scrolling for an hour. Because the desk scrolls are becoming a big thing. You sit down, you start scrolling and scrolling and scrolling and scrolling, and an hour later, you're still scrolling and you've done nothing but scroll. So I use my device to warn me, and then I just am very targeted in what I do. There's a lot of junk out there, and the algorithms that are populating feeds aren't helping me. So my consumption is more targeted. I wonder what this person is up to in their life. I wonder how I can pray for this person. And then you go target, and I go look at what specific people are doing versus just letting a scroll dictate who I'm following.
Hmm. So if somebody wanted to get a copy of your book, what's the best way to do that?
Amazon. Faith Resources sells it for a little bit less than Amazon.
Well, there you go. Then go to Faith Resources, right?
There you go.
What about conferences, Jonathan? If somebody's listening to this and saying, wow, we need to get this message in front of our youth leaders, in front of our parents, in front of our church family, in front of our conference that we're having, whatever. Do you speak at conferences like that, and how would somebody make that happen?
I do, and that's one of the amazing things about being part of the Ministry of Faith. I never would have thought as a geek I would end up speaking to groups of parents on social media and young people. But yeah, I speak frequently at those events. You can go to faithlafayette.org/parenttech. And there's a list of all of the resources that I've made available there. And you can contact me by email at jsmith@faithlafayette.org. But there's a list of some ways on that website and some resources that are available for parents on this topic.
Well, Jonathan, listen, thanks a lot for talking to us today. And thanks for allowing the principles of biblical counseling that you grew up around to impact an area of life that we wouldn't always just naturally make a connection. I'm glad you have for us. And I appreciate you talking to our listeners today. You can check out more about our ministry at faithlafayette.org. Or if you're interested in receiving biblical counseling training, go to faithlafayette.org/conferences. You can find these presentations wherever you normally access your podcasts. And you could really help us just to get the word out by telling your friends on social media that these presentations are going to be available. Our hope and our prayer is that this podcast honors the Lord and is a blessing to you.